Good afternoon. I'm Kathy Lewis. What's the difference between a chicken and a turkey? Chickens celebrate Thanksgiving. Raucous applause in the producer control room right now. They came up with that joke, my friends, not I. And so how do you, my fellow humans, with Thanksgiving just 2 days away, celebrate? It's the perfect time to sit down around our round table with chefs. We'll be talking about tips and tricks for getting through one of the biggest holidays of the year. We're shining a spotlight on restaurants that source locally and embody the spirit of the holidays by sharing with others. We're talking with culinary luminaries of Hampton Roads who are diving face first into their holiday helpings. Let's talk about it after this news from NPR.
Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread. Beans and cornbread had a fight. Beans knocked cornbread out of sight. Beans. Cornbread said, "Now that's all right. Meet
me on the there we go. It's a food edition of Here's Sam. Why not? 2 days from now, Thanksgiving. It is amazing. By the way, classic Thanksgiving dinner will cost you about just under $5 a person. I don't know where these people are shopping because that is not my experience. And we have three chefs today who are vigorously shaking their heads no, because it's going to be a lot more than that at their fine restaurants. We're happy to have you with us today. We're at 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. Wondering what is the go-to expected must-have dish at your Thanksgiving table? Would love to hear from you on that today. And then our producers, who are desperately in need of a vacation, apparently, came up with an amusing joke, which we aired at the top of the show. And if you are just joining us, you will want to have this for your afternoon. What is the difference between a chicken and a turkey? Chickens celebrate Thanksgiving. That's how badly we all need a break. I'm just going to put that out there for you. In addition, they have a poll on our Facebook page, which has to do with that delectable dish many of us know as dressing or stuffing or filling. And we're trying to sort of get, I guess, the definitive description of that. And what do you call that dish that's made with bread and celery and onions and all kinds of other yummy stuff? Basically a vehicle, in my view, for sausage and pecans. But there you go. 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. Glad to have Dylan Wakefield back with us today. He's the chef and co-owner of Pendulum Fine Meats in Norfolk, and he's also a chef at a new thing called Comey. We're going to learn more about that in the course of the program, too. Dylan, nice to have you back with us today.
Thank you.
Now,
so
do you have at Pendulum Fine Meats, do you have turkeys?
Yes, I do.
Yes?
And not very many left to sell.
They've I'm
all
sure.
pre-ordered and sold.
Already. Yeah. Now, what would be an alternative? So at this point, if somebody decides not to do the turkey, or if you're buying a frozen turkey, by the way, we're really getting in that window for thawing. So that's not something you wake up on Thursday morning and decide to do, typically. What are some other alternatives you're finding that people are experiencing?
Pork crown roasts.
Oh, nice.
Always a big seller at Thanksgiving. Legs of lamb.
Yeah.
We're doing a lot of those, and then ham, another traditional
thing. And you've got all kinds of advice for people about how to prepare that. PendulumMeats.com is the website where you can learn more. They source ethically raised meats and help local farmers, and that's sort of our theme today is looking at locally sourced meats and products and vegetables and the like as you prepare your Thanksgiving table. We are at 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. Dylan owned a Mediterranean Italian restaurant in New York before coming back 2 years ago to be closer to family. Now, tell us about Comey, C-O-M-M-I-S.
So Comey is a group of chefs. There's four to five of us. And what we do is we throw these events, dinners, that are by, you sign up on Facebook, we release them, and then they fill up just really quickly. The format is pay what you want to pay.
Wow.
So
how's that working out?
It works out pretty well, actually.
I'd like my mortgage to actually be that way, but sadly it does not work that way.
So, it's Ian Hawk, Matt Hayes from Cutting Edge, Kevin Ordonez from Alkaline Ramen, and Ross Riddle from Hashi Truck. Steve's done an event with us before. We get together, we each do a course, and then we present it to our group of people that are eating with
us. Nice. And where do you do this?
We've done them at our shop at Pendulum, and then we're looking to do them at some other places.
Wow. So you just, and this is sort of a variation. There's this thing, I've seen this in other cities where, you know, individuals will open their homes if they, you know, do a particular kind of cuisine they particularly enjoy. And they'll go to Facebook and set up one of these deals where you sign up and you pay a certain amount, come in, whatever. But this is a pay what you want.
Yeah.
And it works out okay.
Yeah, it definitely has worked out all right for
us. That's fantastic. Yeah. And who comes to something like this? Somebody who is, I guess, culinarily adventurous.
Yes. Yeah. You definitely want to have a little bit of a sense of adventure when you come to eat there.
Can you give us a sense of what a recent meal might have been?
We had a guest come in, and we did a lot of food that we were doing some curing and things like that. So we had like a seawater gel that we put on the plate that we actually took seawater from the ocean and had to, gelatinize it and then put it on the plate with some quick cured shrimp and things like that. So there's a lot of different things, though. We did one of the guys did a corned beef tongue pastrami that went over really well. But you just have to be able to say, I'm going to be willing to try anything.
Try anything. And who wouldn't? 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. Again, it's called COMMI, spelled COMMIS. And can people learn more about that at Pendulum Meats as well? Or where would they learn about that?
Facebook page. It has its own Facebook page, and that's really about it. And that's where
everything happens. Yep. I tell you, man, Facebook is used for so much now. That is a fact. So there you have it. We're at 12 minutes past the hour. Also glad to have Steve Marsh with us in the studio today. He's the chef and owner at Le Grand Kitchen and Shiptown in Norfolk. Nice to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Congratulations on the second year anniversary of Le Grand. It's a very, very charming, known as a finer diner. I love that.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, we can't do without the local community, that's for sure.
And how many? Le Grand is very small.
Yes. We started off as a 16-seat diner, and then we had the opportunity to expand next door. So we're now at 28 seats.
Oh, fantastic! Great. So when we say finer diner, I have an idea in my mind when I think of diner food, but I've been to your lovely restaurant and not like a diner.
Right. Well, it started that way.
Yeah.
We used a pre-existing little hot dog restaurant that was there, and we kept the L-shaped lunch counter bar, and original intention was to do just nice diner food, solid burger, chicken sandwich, stuff like that. And over the course of a couple months, the community spoke, and they wanted certain things and better things, and we had the capability of doing it, so we just rolled with it, and it evolved to what it is today.
And it's really yummy, really delicious.
Thanks. I appreciate
great.
It.
And so tell us about Shiptown Seafood, though, because that's the hot new place.
Yeah, so Shiptown's just two blocks away from Le Grand. We had the opportunity to move some of our seafood ideas and stuff that I thought the area was kind of lacking in the seafood realm around here.
Yeah.
And we wanted a place to kind of let that shine with, all the waterways around here.
Sure.
and stuff like that.
And you've got a great space there that if you have, this is a space sort of on the north of Colley Avenue.
Yeah.
And if you had driven by it in the last, I'll say the last year, 18 months, there were about 10 different things in there. That's probably an exaggeration. I'm known to do that. But it felt like there were a lot of different
There was three within a course of 2 years.
Yeah.
And
not 18.
Yeah.
I did exaggerate
but,
a bit.
You know, I've always kind of lusted after that building.
It's a great building.
And I had an idea even before we had the opportunity. So when we got approached about it, I knew exactly what to do. And
it's interesting because what you're doing at Shiptown, you do not have a fryer, which almost sounds sacrilegious, but okay.
Right. Yeah, and we're just trying to make the seafood kind of get highlighted without masking it with a bunch of breading and everything else. And try to let the area know that there's more to seafood and cooking than,
Right.
We call it kind of a crutch. You know,
I thought fish swam in with bread on it until I was 12 years old. So that was kind of a revelation in itself. 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. Shiptown, the new restaurant, is located at 4314 Collie Avenue. Pendulum, located in the Ghent section of Norfolk. Tell me the address, because that's
820 Shirley, right behind the narrow theater.
820 Shirley. Right behind the narrow theater. 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. And again, our questions for you today have to do with what you're serving at Thanksgiving. Maybe you have a dish you're struggling with and you really do not want to do that green bean casserole yet one more year. We have three chefs today who can tell you some great ideas that'll access locally sourced vegetables, locally sourced food, locally sourced meat, and so we'd love to hear from you today. Nick Hagan is with us as well. He's a chef and owner at Homegrown in Portsmouth, which also is celebrating 2 years. Congratulations. Nice to meet you.
Thank you. Thanks
2 years. 2 years is a long time in the restaurant business. Is that sort of a threshold by which you know, okay, we made it this far, it looks good?
That's what they tell us. So
really?
It's just me and my wife, so we have a few other people, but that's what they tell us. The two-year mark's a good year mark.
Isn't that something? So it's you and your wife, and in fact, you had to close your restaurant to come here today, so we very much appreciate that and want everybody to go there tomorrow to make up, because I'll feel badly if you've lost money today being here. That'll break my heart. Tell us about your great restaurant, though.
So we do everything as much as we can, locally sourced from vegetables and proteins as much as we can. We make pizzas and sandwiches during lunchtime, and then weekly we drop a new menu every Tuesday until we sell out of it on Saturday.
Oh, wow. That's
so
pretty neat.
Normally Tuesday afternoon I'm spending prepping up, so we're going to open a little late today so that I can go back and do that. But I build it off of what I can find at the farmer's market that I actually work
really?
At on Saturday mornings.
Wow.
With the local farmer brothers out of Elizabeth City. And then I just build things that are what I kind of call mom's homey food, done a little bit nicer.
Yeah.
You know, this week we're doing shepherd's pie, beef and rice, or chicken and rice. Then I got mussels with some greens and bacon broth. So just kind of simple homey food done with good products.
But delicious. Yeah. We're at 455 Court Street in Portsmouth. That's the street address for Homegrown, right there in the Old Town section of Portsmouth. I was talking to somebody the other day who said they haven't gone to Portsmouth as much because of the tolls. Then you are missing something. It is worth the toll to drive to Portsmouth, particularly for great food. There are some great restaurants in Old Town, of which Homegrown is just one. But I'm telling you, you are really missing a bet if you are letting that toll.
If we want to be a big metropolitan city, like everybody says, the dollar toll ain't going to kill you. Anywhere else you got to go, it's a couple dollars.
There we go. 18 minutes past the hour. It's 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. We're talking about Thanksgiving today, wondering if you have done your purchasing. Are you one of those cook on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday people, or do you just take care of it on Thursday? Are you somebody who has more of a potluck, a bring-your-own kind of thing, or are you somebody who attempts to do all of it yourself? 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. Dylan Wakefield, we have had contentious debates over the years about the best way to do a turkey. We have mm-hmm. people who are big fans of brining. I had a neighbor who said, if you bring me a turkey that's under 12 pounds at a certain time on Thanksgiving, I will fry it for you, which I thought sounded like an amazing deal.
Yeah.
So what's your take on what's the best way to cook a turkey?
I really don't know if there's a best,
okay.
But I will say that there's a couple of different ways. I really do enjoy actually a fried chicken. I think that's just being from Texas. We
yeah.
like things fried like that.
Yeah.
I tend to every year what I do, personally, the last 2 or 3 years, I brine the turkey and then I actually cut it up I separate all the parts out.
Oh, you do?
Separate leg, drumstick, thigh, breast, and wings. And then I lay them out on a sheet pan on a roasting rack and cook it that way. I like to do that because then I can pull off the wings when they're done. I can pull off the drumsticks
Great
when they're
point.
Done. And I can pull off everything, let them cook until they're, you know, and that way everything, there's not one part that's overcooked and one part that's undercooked or anything like that. So I have customers that request that. We gladly do that. The other thing is to spatchcock it,
yeah.
where you take out the backbone and just lay it flat. Same thing. I think that cooks it a lot better than this big old giant sphere of an animal going
yeah.
into an oven.
And the other thing is creates more room in your
yes, yeah,
oven.
Yeah,
that's
definitely
the other.
Does that.
Because once you get a turkey in there, there ain't a whole lot of room for whatever else you got going on. So that's interesting because you have foregone the beautiful present, the iconic Norman Rockwell presentation for a better taste.
Yeah.
I would argue that's a good trade.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly what you are trading off, is that big, beautiful bird that does come out on the platter.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's usually gone in the first 5 minutes.
Sure.
And
then you have to carve it in the tableside carving. Oh, my gosh. That's
and actually, when it's cut into the eight-piece, like when we do the eight-piece cut-up, the cutting is so much easier because you have a whole breast and it's just slice, 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 slice.
Right.
And same with, like, if you take the bone out of the thigh, you get really nice slices of meat, too, when we do it that way.
Okay. So there you go. You have been given dispensation, my friends. You do not have to do that whole with a big turkey at the table and carving it and making a mess of it. You can just take care of that ahead of time. So you said eight pieces. So what?
Eight pieces, two drumsticks, two thighs, two breasts, and two wings.
Got it. Okay. So right. Okay. Yeah. Got it. Barbara's on the line from Virginia Beach. Hi, Barbara. You're on the air.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Hello, guys. I do the Thanksgiving dinner. We rent a house at the Outer Banks, and we all, the family and everybody, comes from all over. And I have a question. I do a turkey, I do a ham, and I do a beef tenderloin. And my dad used to do this beef tenderloin and wrap it in bacon. And when it came out, it was fantastic, and his bacon was crisp, and I can't seem to manage to do that.
Okay.
Regardless of soul, I never learned how to do it the way he was doing it. So I either want to know how to get that bacon crisp around the beef tenderloin, or I want to crush the beef tenderloin, and I don't know how to do that either.
All right. Gentlemen, what do you think? You have not stumped the panel, I can tell you that.
No.
They've all got so many ideas. They're pointing at each other,
that's
trying to decide who's the most
thing.
Awesome
yeah.
one.
That's the fun thing about
yeah.
cooking. I think we all can take a different approach.
Yeah.
Usually for bacon-wrapped tenderloin, I tend to oven sear it, meaning start the oven really, really high,
yeah,
450, 500 degrees, uh-huh. for about 10 to 15 minutes, and then turn it down to about 300 and let it finish cooking that way.
So that probably makes it crispier,
yeah, and that gets
it?
Yeah. That starts out. Same yeah. with the skin on the turkey or chicken or whatever you're doing. That's generally what I do. I've seen some people do it almost the opposite. Start it cooler at 300 degrees and then jack it up at the end, like under a broiler.
Uh-huh.
But I'd
so
like to see whatever.
So the high heat for a brief period of time
yeah.
is probably
yeah.
key to this.
I would recommend putting it on like an elevated rack so that air circulation gets on all sides. So
uh-huh.
it doesn't sit and get soggy on one side or too burnt
great
underneath
point.
The pan, you know.
That's a great point.
Yeah, do the starting hot and use like a cast iron skillet or something to start it off with.
Okay. Barbara, it seems to that the key here is the high heat either at the beginning or the end, but the consensus seems to be the beginning might be better.
Okay, and can you guys tell me if I wanted to crust it with something exciting and different, how would I do that?
Crust it?
Mm-hmm, you know, like have a crust on the beef tenderloin.
Oh, you're talking about, yeah, I see, like a pastry.
Beyond bacon.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Wow, she's serious about this. What do we think?
Maple syrup.
Yeah, we like smoked. We do a smoked horseradish on our roast beef. That's really awesome. We crust that on top of our roast beef, which would be very similar, but on
that
a tenderloin
nice.
Would be nice.
Yeah. Barbara, hey, thanks for the call. I'm just impressed that you're doing three different meat presentations that you can have. That is ambitious. I know more people, by the way, who are doing this, and I'll be interested to hear from you. And won't we have an interesting Thanksgiving this year with the election just passed? I'm telling you, that is going to make for some fast. Here's what you should do. Here's what everybody should do. You should have like a stuff for your table, and then you should have some go bags in case people, you know, in case things go badly.
Yes.
Right? Just something you can pick up and walk out the door. I'm just saying. 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. One of the things, though, that we were wondering about is this thing that our last caller just mentioned, and a lot of people are doing this, getting places down at the Outer Banks or Virginia Beach for the long Thanksgiving weekend. Rates are, I think, cheaper. I think that's a piece of the lure there. And then everybody comes to one place where nobody lives. So everybody's sort of equally on the hook for making the meal. So that's kind of a cool deal,
yeah.
too. Sometimes we have very nice weather in the Thanksgiving season, and you know, so sometimes you can really luck out. Peggy's on the line from Norfolk. Hi, Peggy. You're on the air. Go right ahead.
Hi. How are you doing today?
Fine, thanks. Go right ahead.
Just for those who don't want to drive to Portsmouth because of the tolls,
yeah,
take the Gilmerton Bridge.
There you go. I'm going to tell you something.
Go the back way.
Peggy, it's a great point, but I would say that whether you go the Gilmerton or whether you go through the tunnel toll, It is well worth the trip. Peggy, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 25 minutes past the hour, 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. We are breaking the internet with this poll on our Facebook page about what do you call, do you call it stuffing, dressing, or filling? I don't know who calls it filling. Do people call it filling?
No.
I think they made that up, honestly. So here's the thing. Most people are calling it stuffing, but some people are calling it dressing. Filling? What is that?
I've never heard that.
Now, there is a raging debate about whether you stuff the turkey with the stuff or not. You like that plan?
I don't usually do that.
Okay.
And I think it's for long time being in restaurants.
Yeah.
There's like for a while there was a kind of a sanitation
yes.
kind of rule that we weren't allowed to do that. Because the eggs, anything that you would put in there wouldn't get fully cooked to a proper internal temperature. So I tend to like
just
it.
Just not so much.
In
yeah.
a casserole pan.
This is what casserole pans are for, am I
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Oh,
you,
yeah.
You agree?
I keep it separated. So.
Okay. See, I think that when you're talking with professionals in the culinary business who are responsible for health and safety and they're saying cook it separately, I would be paying attention to that.
But that's what stuffing is. Stuffing is when you put it in the bird and dressing
enough,
is when
Nick.
You cook it in the pan.
Okay, all right. Oh. That is a distinction.
There Grandma makes filling. Stuffing. Oh, we make dressing.
How about filling?
Okay. I don't know filling, what filling is.
Filling is for pies. That's,
yeah.
That,
Twinkies.
No, filling is that's not a thing. That is not a thing. If it is a thing, I want to hear from. Maybe that's a part of the country kind of
it
thing.
Could
you
be
know what I mean?
Soda
could be.
And pop and
it could yeah. be. 20. But pick one: stuffing or dressing. This filling thing is not going to work for anybody at this table. Jay is on the line from Chesapeake. Hi, Jay. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
All right, go right ahead.
Yeah, I smoke my turkeys.
How do you go about doing that? Is you have to do that ahead of time, or how does that work?
Well. Right now, I'm in the preparation phase, so I go through making my rub and my injection.
Yeah.
And I let that sit. But Wednesday after work, I'll be smoking about 4 turkeys.
Ooh.
So I just put my hickory and my white oak and cherry wood out there and just let it do its thing.
Wow.
Two at a time.
That's amazing. That's very surgical, the way you described that, Jay. I'm very impressed with that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you got to wash them, inject them. Then rub them, let them sit, and then as soon as the day before Thanksgiving goes, just let it do its thing. And
wow.
It's almost the same oven concept. You want to put the celery and rosemary sprig in there and just baste it every, I baste every like 3 hours.
Well, I tell you, you sound like you have it down to a science. I'm impressed. And you said you do 4 of these turkeys this way. Are you giving those to people as gifts, or are you cooking them all yourself? What are you doing?
Well, it's almost by demand. I did 1 year,
yeah.
And my mother fell in love with it. So every year, she asked me to do a couple of them. So this year, she asked me to do 4 of them.
Wow. You must love
yeah.
her a lot, Jay. I am very impressed. I tell you, when you get up to 10, you might want to open a place. That might be something to look into. Thanks for the call, Jay. Really appreciate it. 28 minutes past the hour. This question of how we do turkeys is really something that people are very passionate
yeah.
about. It's very interesting. Chip's on the line from Hampton. Hi, Chip. You're on the air.
Hey there, guys.
Hi.
One of the chefs, and I apologize, I don't remember which,
uh-huh.
Mentioned a few minutes ago about spatchcocking
yes.
turkey.
Yes.
That's what I've done for a while, but it wasn't until 2 years ago that I knew it was called spatchcock. And I got the idea from America's Test Kitchen
yes.
Years ago. And somebody has told me recently, and I'm sure your chefs will know the history of it, that was something Julia Child brought from France. Now, I'm not sure that's true because, you know, these days everybody wants everything to come from Julia Child.
Yeah.
But that's what I heard. I love doing this spatchcock thing. And so what we do is, I do brine the turkey like the night before. And then the spatchcock is, some of your people may not even know what that is. But
yeah,
you know,
sure.
You take the backbone out and you smash down the breastbone. And then I usually do like an olive oil and herb rub out of the herb garden underneath
nice.
The skin. And then I make, and if you're talking about dressing, to us it's dressing and it's got to have oysters. Because that's what we do in this part of the country.
Okay.
And you can put that in the pan underneath the roasting pan. Then put the thing, the rack across the top. Put the turkey across the top and let it chill overnight. So you got to do that Wednesday night so that everything's dry and ready to chill. And so that way when you roast it, it's going to get nice and brown. And then I do a little bit of olive oil and pepper on top of the skin. And the cool thing is, no matter how big the turkey is, you can get it done in a pretty decent amount of time because that poor bird is just laid out flat on the
right.
Rack. So anyway,
right.
That's what we do.
Hey, Chip, thank you for the call. And we should note that spatchcocking, similar to butterflying, except yes. what's the difference?
Removing the back spine
yeah.
so it lays flat.
Yeah.
And I don't know where it would come from. I don't know if you guys know any of the history. I learned it from an old Italian fellow who
yeah.
would take a Cornish game hen in a cast iron pan to fry the whole thing in one flat piece. But I'm not quite sure the history of where it would come from.
I saw a great recipe for Cuban chicken once where they spatchcock it, and then they put tinfoil wrapped bricks on mm-hmm. either
That's
side.
How just we a, did it.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
In a cast iron and a brick, either in a just, fire pit or whatever, and you just cook it
mush it,
like
it right
that.
Down. Yep. Yeah. Mush. It would be another technical term. Thank you for the call. Yeah. And we're at 440-2665, 1-800-940-2240. Nobody really knows the Julia Child connection, but we'll try to figure that out. Chad's on the line from Chesapeake. Hi, Chad. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. Hope you guys are doing good today.
Very well. Thank you.
I was calling because we are going to venture into deep frying our turkey this year.
Wow.
And was wondering what the chefs have to say about, you know, good ways to prepare the skin, you know, a good rub, a recommended injection that sends, you know, gives a better flavor than others.
Great questions.
My best friend is a fireman for 10 years.
Nick.
So go make
ahead.
Sure that it's dry. That is
yeah.
my biggest thing. Make
oh,
sure
you know,
that your whole
I'm
turkey
you
is
that.
Dry.
Right.
I've never fried a turkey because my best friend's a fireman. So just be very careful. That's my advice. Make sure that it's dry.
Yes,
don't inject it. And make sure, you know, you let it sit out in the fridge for a good day and get all the water and stuff out of it.
Is that what causes the fire hazard?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're full of water when people, like, inject them or leave
yeah.
them somewhat frozen. That's what happens. So.
All
or,
right.
Or the ice. Because I've injected them before, but it's like if you have ice, if it's not fully thawed. Or the cavity carries a lot of water, you know, that as it's been thawing or whatever. So you do want to make sure that there's no water content in there like that. Like, I've had good luck, though, injecting them. In fact, my wife will tell you her favorite turkey we ever had was we just took a bottle of Frank's hot sauce and just a surgical needle and just put it all over that turkey and just threw it in the fryer. And it was awesome.
Really?
That was one of her favorite things. The nice thing about frying a turkey, though, is like you said,
yeah.
you knock it out really quickly.
Right.
You're not waiting around for it all day. And it does tend to, like other things that are fried, I mean, it tends to come out
it
really
juicy. It tends
to
be golden fried deliciousness.
Exactly.
Is that
and,
what you're trying
and
to
it
say?
It cuts it pretty evenly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great point. All right, Chad, we're going to wish you very well, but do be safe with that. And I think that's great advice because usually not a Thanksgiving goes by that somebody doesn't do something with trying to fry a turkey. So be careful with
Just
that.
Just look at YouTube.
Yeah. Chad, yes. Thank you for the call. AJ is on the line from Chesapeake. Hi, AJ. You're on the air.
God bless you guys all this season coming up.
Thank you.
Since nobody hardly ever puts the stuffing in the bird anymore
yes.
for various reasons, I think the proper term for it should be side dish.
I like it, AJ. You're thinking. I like that a lot. Is there a particular
That's a great one.
Is there a particular brand of side dish stuffing that you prefer?
I like mine with cranberries and nuts of some kind,
Ooh,
cashews.
That sounds
and,
nice.
Soaked in a lot of chicken broth.
Ooh, love that. Hey, AJ, happy Thanksgiving to you, and thank you for the call. 27 minutes before the hour, we have a question from our Facebook page from Mary, who wants to know if you guys have any guidance for cooking a beef tenderloin on the big green egg. This is that grill, right? It's,
yeah.
it's like a grill. It looks
the big
very much
ceramic
like a big
grill.
Green egg.
Yeah. I don't know enough about using a big green egg.
Yeah.
I know a lot of our customers, we get a lot of them that come in and swear by them, but I've never used one. So I don't know if the best way to do that. Tenderloin, though, being so lean, you do want to go with dry heat, and you don't want to let it go for very long. Like, it's conducive to go medium, you know, medium rare.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. Anybody else? Okay.
No green eggage here.
27 minutes before the hour. Dylan Wakefield with us. He's a chef and co-owner at Pendulum Fine Meats and also a chef at Comey. Steve Marsh is the chef and owner at Le Grand Kitchen in Shiptown in Norfolk. Nick Hagan is the chef and owner of Homegrown in Portsmouth. And you can join us with your questions, your ideas. Maybe you have a scenario that you're curious about. By the way, we should note that Thursday from noon to 2, our good friend Lynn Rosetto Casper, we can say that, noon to what? I don't know what this, what is this? Okay, 11. Okay, I thought it was football posts. I'm sorry. I'm not doing well with the sign language today. From 11 to 1. Is that what I, okay, 11 to 1. Our good friend Lynn Rosetto Casper from the Splendid Table is going to be taking your questions live on Turkey Confidential. And we can say she's our good friend because we've met her. She's been in our studio. She loves us better than all the other. Okay, that's probably not true, but she acts like she does, and we appreciate the effort. Jackie's on the line from Virginia Beach. Hi, Jackie. You're on the air.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Hi.
Thanks.
I am interested in learning more about the art of brining a turkey. What does one need in terms of equipment, stuff that goes into the brining process? I had a disastrous situation trying to do it the first time without any real instructions to go by. So,
okay. Yeah, fair enough. It's a great question. First, what is brining for people who may not know what that is? What is brining? Steve, you want to give us that one?
Yeah, so basically it's submersing, well, it could be wet or dry, but I think what you're referring to is like a wet brine, but it's submersing a protein in like a salt and sugar solution. You can also put aromatics in there. It's super simple.
Yeah. You're covering it up.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah.
With equipment-wise, basically all you need is like a large container. At home, you could probably use like a cooler, which most people have in their garage or whatever else. Just a pot, water, salt, sugar ratio. You can use brown sugar, usually for a turkey.
Is there a typical ratio that you think works? Or
like what we do is we usually do like one part salt to, and then like a half part of that sugar.
Okay.
So I'm just throwing out
1 cup to every gallon. One cup of salt per every gallon.
Yeah.
And half a cup of sugar.
Half a cup of sugar or so.
Yeah,
and
we do half of that. Correct.
And then like he said, any aromatics you want for winter.
Yeah, usually we do like garlic, thyme, lemon zest, peppercorns. I mean, it's just that simple.
And basically you just soak it.
Yeah,
basically.
Soak it. Yeah. Recommended usually about 12 hours. For a big turkey.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, we did this, Jackie, a couple of years ago, and I did exactly that. Took a cooler, did it outside because it was very cold. And so the other nice thing about brining is that you don't have a turkey in your refrigerator. I mean, if you do it that way, that also frees up a lot of refrigerator. But it's real easy and real tasty.
Yeah, just make sure it gets rinsed afterwards a little bit and then dried a little bit. If you could leave it overnight, so the skin gets dried out, so you can have that nice, super crispy skin when you throw it in the oven.
Got it. Good to know. Jackie, thank you for the call. I let us know how it works out. I'd love to hear from you. Let's go to Paula on the line from Suffolk. Hi, Paula. You're on the air.
Hello. I'm not really from Suffolk. I'm just driving.
Okay.
I was listening to the radio, and I heard the way that people talk about what to do with the bodies of these animals whose life was nothing but pain from the day they were born until they were slaughtered. And they talk about them as though they were things. Mm. Do you have any idea? These animals feel the same pain that you would feel if we were living in places where we can't even turn around.
Paula, I hear your concern, and I appreciate it very much. And certainly there are many, many people who are very concerned about these circumstances in which animals are raised. Dylan Wakefield, I know this is important for you as well.
Yeah, so actually one of the big concerns or the one big tenets of our shop was always the humane raising and the humane slaughter of these animals and what they go through for us to eat. And that was always... If not one of the, I would even say more so than finding a local farmer, we would like to find farmers and growers that are humane how they raise their animals and humane how they slaughter them. And that goes pretty far to the things that we want to do and why we like to support the kind of business that we're doing.
And the farmers that we support. When you talk about that, that's clearly something that for you ethically is an important concern.
Mm-hmm.
So is that hard to find places that meet your standard in that?
It is. It does get pretty hard to do. That's why we make it very, very important that we go and visit our farmers And then we also visit some of our processing, what we call our processing plants. We like to go out and visit them and check on, see how they're doing things and why they're doing things the way that they're doing. And there is set guidelines on how this should be done humanely, back to Temple Grandin and things like that, of the ways that they should be raising animals as far as overcrowding to where, how they're holding them while they're growing these animals to actually the method that they're using to harvest them.
20 minutes before the hour. Shane's on the line from Hampton. Hi, Shane, you're on the air.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, fine, thanks. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just had a comment in reference to the side dish or stuffing, as I refer to it.
Okay.
I like to use sage, sage sausage and onion, finely chopped onion, and saute that up, and then kind of fold that into my stuffing. And
yes.
Bake it, and then maybe grind up some cashews or pecans or almonds or whatever for just a light dusting on the top. Bake that up so it's a little bit crunchy, and it's amazing.
Shane, we are kindred spirits in that regard. I really do feel that stuffing is nothing more than a vehicle for sausage and crushed up pecans and walnuts and all kinds of good things like that. I think that sounded amazing, didn't it?
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, I own a meat shop, so that's why I love
there you go.
Sausage and stuffing.
Exactly. So that sounds magnificent. Thank you for the call. Ben's on the line from Williamsburg. Hi, Ben. You're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hi.
How are you guys doing?
Fine, thanks.
Good, how are you? Good.
Okay, so I'm an avid turkey fryer. I've been frying turkeys for several years now, and once I got it figured out, it never stopped.
Uh-huh.
However, I got a friend who got a turkey at work, and she's also bringing hers up, and so now I have to find a second way to prepare a turkey. I have a couple smokers and oven, but then I also have an Orion convection oven, and I don't know if you've heard of these, but I've done several pork shoulders on them, and that's all I've really used it for is for the pork shoulders. Have you ever heard of the Orion convection oven? It's a charcoal convection oven. And would you do a turkey on it if you have?
I've never heard of one of those, but you know, funny who would? It's probably even Morgan Chase, probably.
Yeah, Morgan, our producer. Yeah. Actually, Morgan is big into this stuff.
And
that's very true.
I think that's what he uses.
Yeah. So maybe I tell you what we'll do. Maybe we'll get Morgan to come in a minute and answer that question, because I think you're right.
Yeah.
You're exactly right, Dylan. Morgan is the man of the plant.
I use a 50-gallon drum as a smoker.
You did?
That's all I have is an
50
old,
gallon?
Like I've been old drum smoker.
Wow. That's amazing. All right, Ben, we're gonna get the
answer
to your question.
But if he does pork butts on it or he does pork on it, I mean, there's no reason it won't handle a turkey, and it should do, you know, the same kind of thing that he likes to do on it.
All right. Well, Morgan has arrived. This is how you know it's live, folks.
I know. I had to call him
microphone.
Out.
But Morgan is getting paid double today. So that's exciting for him. A little bonus for being on the air and behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Not many people can handle it. He can.
Finally, my time to shine.
I know. Good afternoon, sir. Good to see you.
Hey, thanks so much
on
for having me,
Kathy. On the
other
side of the window.
Long time listener.
Yeah.
First time guest.
We all need a break. I think we've established that abundantly in the course
of
this hour.
So I'm actually smoking a turkey in the control room right now.
So Ben is on. Ben, are you still there?
Yes,
right.
I am.
So Morgan, let me just say, Morgan is not only a producer, he is a Renaissance man of many, many talents. So you've been listening to Ben's question.
I have.
What is your advice?
Ben, tell me a little bit what device
are
you using?
Okay, this is not Dr. Laura's therapy hour. Really. Okay, Ben, go ahead.
It's an Orion convection oven. So basically, it's an enclosed container where the outside is a rim for charcoal, and you can drop your wood chips down at the bottom around your drip pan. And then it's got a few racks where you can, I've cooked up to 3 pork shoulders on it before. And so now that I have this extra turkey that I'm going to have, I thought about using the Orion for the turkey. I have 2 other smokers, but I'm not a very good smoker. That's why I use the Orion because it's much easier.
Sure.
So have you used one? Do you recommend it?
Yeah, Ben. So what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to make sure, if at all possible, that you're hanging the turkey inside the device. You can
I love
buy...
an answer that starts, what you're going to want to do. Yeah.
You can buy a few different... they're basically just racks that you hang, and it'll thread through the neck of the turkey, and it'll brace it. And so you're going to want to cook it drums up, breast down, and that you're going to want to just, if you have, you're going to obviously want to use a thermometer. You're going to want to make sure you get the breast to about 165, dark meat to about 185, and be mindful of that temperature inside the oven, as well as that you've soaked those chips and stuff inside, and you're going to get a delicious, delicious turkey.
Dylan, when he comes into your store, he's like, he's like the doctor who walks into the pharmacy or something, right? I mean,
no, so I love having him in the shop all the time.
I love how intense he
but
is
he
about
he tells
this.
Me about this one thing. This is one thing where he can stump me because yeah. I've never even heard of it. He's like, I'm putting it on this.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
Ben,
oh,
what I want to say to you is that you are talking to the Ben Franklin of this effort that you're describing today.
Or the Rain Man of this effort.
The Rain Man.
Yes, he is really
into Ben, I thank you for the call. Is that helpful, I hope?
It helped tremendously. Thank
okay.
you so much for answering the question in
yeah.
some detail. I
and
appreciate
listen,
it.
And listen, because I know you have inspired others. It's morgan.chase@whrv.org, and I know he will be careful because he will, you know, get into the vortex here of many, many conversations.
One more thing, Ben. Do you have a turkey purchased already?
I'm sorry?
Do you have a turkey purchased already?
Yes. Both turkeys have been defrosting for 5 or 6 days now in the refrigerator.
Good, because 12, 13, 14 pounds is going to probably be your sweet spot, and you're probably going to plan for a 5-6 hour smoke, depending
right.
on how that goes along. So
okay.
just plan for
New
that.
New this fall on NBC, Convection Oven Turkeys with Morgan Chase. Thank you for joining us, Morgan
Chase.
It was
my great honor and pleasure.
There
thank you.
Ben, thank you for the call. 15 minutes before the hour. Tony's on the line from Williamsburg. Hi, Tony. You're on the air.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I've been deep frying for a couple of years now. I got the pretty much down to a science. However, the issue I'm having right now is what to do after you pull the turkey out of the fryer.
Okay.
I let it hang. However, it's still getting soggy in place. I don't want to let it hang too long because then it cools down. I'm just wondering if there's any advice to keep the turkey as crispy
yeah.
as possible after you pull it out.
Any thoughts?
Yeah, I would think like with almost everything, don't let it sit in its own juices. Elevate it from after he's cooked it, like you know, in a roasting pan or rack, or lift it right. off the bottom so it doesn't do that. I guess the other thing is that heat. Make sure that he's not under like the temperature's not too low. The what forms that really great crust on the turkey is frying at the right temperature.
Okay.
Right? Is that even like tempering the turkey so it's not like ice cold? Like I know Thomas Keller recommends before you like roast a chicken to leave it out at room temperature, you know, for an hour,
right?
So it tempers that temperature so you're not putting, you know, 12 to 14 pounds of 32 degree, you know,
yeah.
turkey into a fryer. So it's room temperature at that point, or
and
close
you wanna,
to it.
You want to kind of orient it, Tony, around
yeah.
when that turkey's going to be done. Orient your
yeah.
Your
you
meal
want that. You
that.
Want that oil to not drop, you know,
yeah.
substantially. You want it to pretty much, you know, maintain that frying temperature.
Nice.
What about 350 degrees?
50, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. And by the way, my husband and I had this debate this morning because I'm all about this fried turkey this year because I don't have to do it. My neighbors offered to do it. I'm like, why would we not do that? 4 ounces. We had the calorie issue conversation.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. 4 ounces of roast turkey, 241 calories. 4 ounces of turkey deep fried in peanut oil, 253. I mean, come on, that's 12 calories difference.
Yeah, not
I'm
not
going
at all.
For it.
Exactly.
I am
I bet
totally
my
going for it.
That is surprising.
More with the amount of butter that goes on top of it as it roasts.
Okay, that's probably very, very true. I am very happy to welcome back to the conversation Ramin Ganeshram, who's an award-winning news reporter and cookbook author based in New York City. Ramin, good to have you back with us.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here. Good to hear you.
Well, I tell you, we've been having a great time today. And you've been doing some interesting writing on the history of Thanksgiving foods. What can you tell us that we might not already know in our folkloric sort of approach to things about Thanksgiving?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The things that are so iconic to us now, like, you know, pumpkin pie, for example, at that first Thanksgiving, there was no pumpkin pie. There's pumpkin, and it was eaten as a savory dish, probably. But there was also beans. There's probably corn porridge, and then there would be cranberries in some form. Interestingly enough, cranberry sauce has been around for 250 years easily.
Wow.
The earliest 18th century American cookbook, so that would be, you know, 1796, Amelia Simmons, actually says that cranberry sauce is perfect for roast turkey.
Huh.
So, yeah, so it wasn't for Thanksgiving, per se. They didn't have Thanksgiving as we have it now. But that pairing was pretty traditional. And I know a lot of people think of that as somewhat recent, the canned cranberry sauce.
Yeah, I was just going to say, did it have the little rim shape on it? I just was curious about that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
But you
are riding the tide of trend here, too, Ramin, because you are talking a lot this year about Persian rice instead of stuffing, and rice side dishes are very hot in the world of Thanksgiving this year.
It's one of our favorites.
Yeah, I think that actually has a lot to do with a resurgence, or I should say not even a resurgence, an interest now in Persian food, North Indian food, even Thai foods and other Southeast Asian foods where rice is the staple ingredient. And it works really well because a lot of people don't like stuffing. And they may not admit it.
Ramin, or you will never appear on this broadcast again in your life. That can happen. I am just that powerful. I know you do. It's so interesting. And you were saying as well, Nick, that you're doing a lot of rice dishes too.
My dad's always done a sausage and wild rice dish that, like, my sister asked for to him to take to the big Thanksgiving up there. So
nice.
Something we always enjoy.
Yeah, so there you go. And it's very hot this year, by the way. I don't know who establishes these things, but it is something that is much discussed this year. Is this rice dish? Every year there's some sort of trend that really hits the scene, and this year it's rice and also Brussels sprouts, because I think people know how they look on the stalk. They're really kind of interesting looking to watch the way they grow.
Well, you know what's interesting about them as well is that you can roast them on the stalk. Save yourself a little bit of time and effort by just putting the whole stalk on a baking tray,
yeah,
a little olive oil, salt, and pepper, and roast it just like you would. And then they come off so much easier. They're a little tough to get off of a stalk, and so unless you have a really good sharp knife, it can be difficult. But if you can save yourself a lot of effort and time by doing it that way, but it is a very cool looking.
It is. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Ramin, what are you working on these days?
Well, I have a book coming out in December about coconut. It's all things coconut, cooking with coconut. And I'm kind of sorry it didn't come out earlier because there are a couple of really nice dishes in that book that would be great for Thanksgiving. There's always next year.
And Christmas.
And
Christmas. So it's all coconut, it's not a desserts book. A lot of people hear coconut and they think, oh, it must be a desserts book. And it's not. It's the full gamut appetizer to drinks, and every coconut product you can imagine, from water to milk to dry, shredded, flour, molasses, the whole thing.
I love coconut. All right. Well, Ramin, good to talk with you again. Thank you so much for being back with us. We'll look forward to chatting soon. And Persian rice instead of stuffing sounds like a great idea, except is rice the same kind of vehicle for the sausage? That's all I need to know. I guess you could put that in there, right?
I guess you could. Why couldn't you, right? You can
I
do
know.
Anything you want.
Ramin does not a fan of that, I can tell from the nice way she's saying that. She's subdued, and that means she is not a fan. But that's okay. That's okay. We'll still be friends. Ramin, thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Okay.
Take care.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Ramin Ganeshram is an award-winning news reporter and cookbook author based in New York City, and she's got a new book coming out in December all about coconut, so that could be kind of fun as well. You're not open Thanksgiving, are you? No, ma'am. Yeah, okay. So what do you do? Do you just like...
I have a 30-pound ham that's been brining for like a week, and then we do a potluck kind of thing.
That'd be like half of Portsmouth for a month, or 30-pound ham, that's a big old ham.
My wife likes ham. The only thing she ever wants is ham and sweet potato casserole.
Okay,
We do that, and then we went and picked up a turkey, and then we invite kind of regulars or people that don't have anywhere to go. We kind of do the orphanage Thanksgiving at our house.
Yeah, that's a really, really nice thing. Happy Thanksgiving to you, Nick, and congratulations on the second year anniversary of Homegrown in Portsmouth, right down in Old Town Portsmouth. Great area of restaurants is Old Town Portsmouth, and you can also take the ferry across if you're coming from off to Portsmouth.
We're
That's
just
a
walk
day.
From the ferry right there, not
Fantastic.
Far.
Fantastic. So the menu's focused on fresh vegetables from local farms. It changes seasonally.
We got Brussels sprouts this week.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then.
With house-made bacon.
Yum. Mm-hmm. I just put bacon in the top of that kind of right there. You just that's
plenty of pork and bacon
exactly
at our place.
So, Nick, thank you for being with us. And again, congratulations on the restaurant. Go there tomorrow, by the way, because poor Nick took the day off to come over here, and it's just him and his wife. So, you know, I want to make sure they have a happy Thanksgiving. Steve Marsh, thank you for being with us from La Grande and from Shiptown. Norfolk, you're really changing the face of the North Colley Avenue area in Norfolk, and it's exciting.
Trying our best, and you know, we can't do it without the support of the neighborhood and Norfolk and Hampton Roads as a whole.
Well,
for sure.
I tell you, Shiptown is the latest addition, and they are really doing an emphasis on cooking clean, working with local oystermen and fishermen, and only open for dinner. And serving only grilled, sautéed, and raw seafood. So no fryer in the kitchen. How about that? I know. I'm going to bring you one just because I'll feel better. Do you have a fryer?
I do.
Okay. All right. Good. Dylan Wakefield, thank you for being with – I didn't mean to sound like that. It was like a deal breaker or anything. I'm just saying. Golden fried deliciousness, right? Yeah. Dylan, thank you for being with us today from Pendulum Fine Meats. And when is the next Comey meal?
We don't know. That's the whole excitement about Comey is we don't know. We don't announce it. We kind of get together and decide when we're going to do it. And so we don't know yet.
It's the hip-hop happening thing. So you want to check it out.
It's a little undercover, yeah.
You want to check it out on Facebook. Yeah, and it's C-O-M-M-I-S.
Yes.
And that's where you can just like that page. As I just did. Collaborative dinners is the deal. And you look at these chefs, they are having a grand time. It just looks super fun.
I helped forage for your last one with Jeremy and Kenny.
Okay, good.
That was cool.
Okay, is forage another word for what the rest of us call shopping? Or is what?
Sure. If you call it shopping, actually,
wood
on
shopping,
the farm where you
so
walk
you're
around.
Actually,
Like they
you're
went and
harvesting.
Got some cool little things from just around the farm that they used at their
so
dinner.
That's like harvesting.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. It was cool. I learned a lot that day.
Very good. Well, thanks to all of you for being here. Do you all do Thanksgiving? You do Thanksgiving?
Just
dinner?
At home. Yeah, we do.
Just at home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Low key.
You?
Kind of what Nick does too. We'll do it at one of the restaurants with family and anybody that has nowhere to go.
Got it.
And we're doing a sous vide turkey this year.
Oh, so.
A what?
Sous vide.
Work with me here. What are you talking about? What kind of craziness are you talking about?
Just like low in submersed water, and low temperature, deboned, all that good stuff.
Wow.
Rolled.
Okay.
Think boneless rolled turkey.
Mm.
Juicy.
Yeah, it's really nice way to
cook,
actually.
You should do a turducken.
Oh, man. Come
we're
on.
Doing, we're doing a koji cured for our staff Thanksgiving tonight.
Yeah. Well,
nice.
We rubbed ours in koji, too.
Oh, really?
All right. Well, now you're just showing off.
Best
so,
of the best.
By the way, if you are interested in opening your home to a sailor or service member, there are all kinds of programs for that this year, too. I don't think it's too late to get in on that if that's something that you would like to do. But just Google that a little bit because a lot of they have adopt-a-sailor programs and all of that sort of thing available to you. And it's a lovely thing to do, particularly for these young men and women who are here and may not be able to get home. So if you have that opportunity, it would be a nice thing to do it. So at any rate, thank you, by the way, for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Yeah,
thanks
no
to
problem.
All of you for being
thank
with
you.
Us today.
Anytime.
We did hear... Interestingly, you know, we were joking about the filling thing. We, you know, you should be careful of this. It's because we heard that this actually may be sort of a Pennsylvania Dutch thing, right?
Oh, okay. Like scrapple.
Yeah. So isn't that interesting?
That
so
is.
So that may be what's going on there. Sherry writes, she's from central Pennsylvania. They call it filling. She believes it's Pennsylvania Dutch in origin, and they often add mashed potatoes to it, which I think could only infinitely improve it. Sherry, thanks for that. I appreciate it. Thanks to all of you for listening today. Up next here on 89.5, it's the Thomas Jefferson Hour. And coming up tonight on WHRO TV 15 at 8 and 9 o'clock, it's Black America Since MLK and Still I Rise. This is Henry Louis Gates Jr. exploring America's changing racial landscape. That's coming up tonight at 8 and 9. Important programs on WHRO TV 15. Thanks for listening. We will see you right back here tomorrow.